opportunity to speak in his name that he's provided for us here tonight. We have such an important role to play tonight as far as showing forth the praises and honor of Almighty God and declaring his goodness and his mercy and his grace to prayerfully and hopefully comfort God's little children with the truth, and that you might be edified and grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. I do appreciate all the words of the prayer that were spoken that ask God to bless us to be able to speak, and bless you to be able to hear and supply what we need in this service, so that it is about honoring and glorifying God and not anything else. And it's been a good day. The Lord has blessed us so abundantly in all the days of our life, but today has been especially good. And just want to be thankful for what the Lord has done for me personally and for my family and for each of us. We have everything and every reason tonight to be here. As the hymn writer said, the Lord has been so good to me, I want to praise his name. I want to glorify his name all my remaining days. And I want to be able to do that better and better as I live here in this world. I feel that's the case with you tonight. And thankful again that we have the opportunity to share together for a little while a portion of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read in your hearing from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. This is the writings of the Apostle Paul under the young preacher Timothy, and it's also that which is part of God's Word, which is given unto us tonight for our guidance and direction, for our instruction. And I'm just thankful for every book of the Bible. I especially enjoy 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and so many things here that have been provided for us in the way of instruction as God's little children of how we ought to live in this world to honor and glorify the Lord, as well as telling us of how it is we have a desire to do that and the ability to do that. 1 Timothy 6 begins, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And let them that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Again, the Apostle Paul speaking to the young preacher Timothy, but also to us tonight by inspiration of God. He says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." This is talking about our behavior and the behavior of a servant towards, or a slave towards, a master. We would think, according to nature, that would be a hard requirement laid down in God's word for one that was in a position of a slave to walk in obedience to a master, as really the scripture says, as unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do, you should do it heartily, as unto the Lord. And of all of the things to think about of how that relationship might work, it doesn't seems to kind of go against the grain, humanly speaking, for a slave to consider to be doing well to a master out of honor to God. But that's really what he's saying here. And how does that apply to us? Well, we have many times and situations in our lives where we are in some tough situations. And how do we respond and how do we act? How do we behave? How do we conduct ourselves? The second verse says, and they that have believing masters. So the first verse is talking about those that have unbelieving masters. If you had a master that didn't believe, it's kind of like in our day and time, if you had a boss that just got on your last nerve and you thought, I don't know, I've got to put up with this guy. And the Bible tells you, as a little child of God, we have a responsibility that goes beyond our responsibility to that person who's in authority over us, whichever that way that might be. We have a responsibility to walk in a way that's pleasing unto God. I have kind of highlighted in my Bible the statement that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That is to be the primary concern about all of our relationships with one another. What's the most important thing that we have in our life? That we're walking in a way that we do not bring any reproach against the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we live in a way to honor him and glorify him. Why? Because he's done everything for us. He's the one that gave his very life in our room instead and paid a sin debt we could not pay and purchased for us a home in glory and a home in heaven and has given us life spiritually here in this world. And when it comes down to how we're to act and behave in this world, one of the major concerns, the major concern that ought to be in our life, am I doing what God would have me to do the way that the Lord would have me to do it, so that I do not bring any reproach to the name of God and that his truth or his doctrine be not blasphemed. That word really means spoken against. In other words, it's important that I live my life before men in this world, that the truth of the gospel shines forth in my life, that I have, as the Bible says, the armor of God on, where I've had my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, where I walk in accord to the gospel and to the truth. And so even in a situation where you had a tough boss or an unbelieving master, even if you were a slave and an unbelieving master, the Bible clearly says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. I want to act and behave in a way that no one has a place to bring charge against God and against the doctrine and the truth that we believe. That's important, how we deal with one another. He says, and they that have believing masters, that is, if you're blessed to have a believing master and you're in that position, and you have a boss that's a believer and one who loves the Lord, then especially we ought to be following and going along with the things we're taught and told to do. There it says, and they that have believing masters. And of course, this is never contrary to the Word of God. We use the Word of God to guide us and direct us. We're not to just do anything that anyone tells us to do. But when we have someone who's in a position of authority over us that tells us what we ought to be doing, that means if we're employees, we ought to be good employees. We ought to be those that can be trusted and depended upon, that's going to work when you're looking at them and work when they're not. You know, it's kind of like some, in my mind sometimes, if a boss is kind of away, then maybe I can cut a few corners. But really, we have to understand we have a master that's above the masters of this world. We're not to do it to please men. We're not to do it for that they might think something of us. We're to do it because the one we are obligated to and the one that we really belong to is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's everywhere present and he's nowhere absent, and he's watching us all the time, right? Even when the boss is gone, when the You know, it's kind of like when I'm riding down the road, and if I don't see any cops, then I say, well, okay, the law is what I want it to be, but the law is still what the law is, and I'm supposed to be under that. I'm supposed to be under that authority. Now, that hits home for me. It may hit home for you. I don't know. Some of you may not have trouble with that. It certainly hits home for me. In many respects, what we're saying here is that you and I have, as God's little children, have a responsibility to walk different than the world, act different than the world, talk different than the world, behave different than the world, so that we're always pointing and remembering, is my behavior and my actions giving honor to God, or are they giving someone room to have the name of God and his doctrine be blasphemed, which means spoken against? In other words, that's a minister of the gospel. I can think of a few times in my own life, and I'll just give personal confession, where set at a ball game and certain things would happen and I'd respond in certain ways, and there might be those that were around me saying, and that's an old Baptist preacher talking like that, or acting like that, or behaving like that, or where I'm at some place where nobody knows who I am or anything, they might find out that, oh, that's what that is. Now, I don't say that tonight to say, okay, that it's just the way it is. I wish it wasn't that way with me. I wish it hadn't been. A lot of things. Some people say if I had it all to do over again, I wouldn't change anything. I'm telling you, I would. If I could do it all over again, there's a whole lot of things I would try to do different and act different. And I can't go back and undo those things. And I'm not to be dealing with that or thinking about that too much. Other than this, as I move forward, I want to press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ, which means I want to be as close to him and as much like him as I can be, and try the very best I can to do better. Now, we'll never get absolutely perfect at this, because we are growing in it, and it's not what we do in order to get right before God or be righteous with God or be accepted with God, but it's because of his righteousness that he's given to us that we ought to be striving to walk as close to him. I hope I'm making sense. As close to him as we can. And just because we didn't do so good yesterday or today doesn't mean tonight we can't do better. By and through the grace of God and the spiritual gifts of God that have been given to us, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. To the pulling down of strongholds, which means I can tear down some things. I can run through a wall. I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. I can do what God requires of me to do as I trust and lean upon him. Now, without him, I can't do anything. But with him, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And that all things doesn't mean anything I want. It means what he's required of us to do. And what he's required for us to do is laid down in his word and written on your heart. It's written on your heart and it's laid down in his word. How can you be sure you're reading the right thing from your heart? It's when you go to his word and it supports what your heart's telling you to do. And if we go to the Lord and we look to him and lean upon him, he will guide us. The scripture says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not for mine, but for his. And that's why I ought to be concerned that the way I'm acting, talking, behaving, living, responding, talking to one another, what I'm doing in my life, the conduct, the behavior, the conversation. The Bible uses the words conversation. Let your conversation, and conversation means your overall conduct, be that which honors and praises and glorifies God. And he uses an example here of a slave and a master, which can be a difficult example, but it says even in that example, what do? We honor God. And that ought to be our concern. Verse 2 says, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. Now, isn't that something good to know? That tonight we're all partakers of the benefit. That means we've got a home in heaven awaiting us. That means Jesus died and bought us. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for us. And tonight we can all feel and understand that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We didn't do anything to get into Christ. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We didn't get to do anything to make sure that condemnation didn't come upon us. The reason you and I will not be condemned is because He bore that pain and that agony and that judgment and that condemnation at Calvary, and He removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. And this truth is being laid down to let us know that doesn't mean, as I said this morning, you got to get out of jail free card. In other words, I can live any way I want to because Jesus paid the price, and therefore I don't have to worry about sin. Shall we continue in sin? Paul said that grace may abound. The answer to that is God forbid. How can ye that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That means that we have been brought to a place where we are able by the grace of God to do better, and we ought to be doing better by and through the grace of God. Okay. He gets to that last phrase. These first two verses have been tough for me. So y'all, I'm really kind of glad I'm through those. I hope it's been a little clarity there. But the last part of that, he says this little phrase, these things teach and exhort. In other words, the minister is not left. Timothy, you're not left just to teach whatever you want, whatever you think, whatever falls in your mind as being the right thing to say. We're not to go to the schools of this world and try to get the ideas and the thoughts of this world and present them to God's people. We are very particular and very clear in the Word of God that this Bible is our rule of faith and practice. That when we go to figure out how it is I'm supposed to act and behave, even if I'm a servant and a slave to a master, how do I behave? Whatever it is I am, if I'm a husband to a wife to a husband, a child to the parents, parents to the children, to our bosses, to those we meet on, to those in the church and outside of the church, how do I live my life? How do I conduct my life? Are there answers in God's Word? And matter of fact, I'm saying to you, there's answers nowhere else but God's Word. Now, He's written those in your heart, and He will lead you by the Spirit of God. But His Word is what? It's a lamp unto your feet, and it's a light unto your path. He will light your candle. He will be the lamp that you need to get through in this world. He'll help you with every interaction you have with any person you meet in this world. He'll help you when you don't know what to say, don't know what to do. As you go to His Word, it will guide you, it will lead you, it will direct you. When we go on our own way, we mess up. When we follow Him, we stay on track, and He takes care of us. It may cause you to end up in jail, because you may become persecuted because of it. But if you do, He'll be with you while you're there. And He may even open the doors and let you out. He may have you be beheaded there. And if you are beheaded there, it's a better resurrection, which means to be with the Lord is far better. If it means my life, are we committed to that point, or are we just playing games? I hope we're not just playing games tonight. If we are, it's a sad state. Because God surely was not playing games when He sent His only begotten Son here into this world. And when Jesus died on the cross, He had you in His mind, He had you in His heart, and He lived His life, every step of His life. He lived in order to bring about your eternal salvation and also give you what you need here in this time world. It's very little that He's required of us, but to listen to Him and love Him and follow after Him and keep His commandments. If a man love me, he will keep my commandments. Now, I say to you, and you can say to me, we can't keep His commandments without Him. But I say to you also, we can keep His commandments with Him. And that's what we ought to be striving to do tonight, to live as close to Him as we can. This is not how we get righteous and accepted with God, because we'll never do it perfectly. And if you sin in one point, if you mess up in one point, James says, if you keep all the law and you bring one point, you're guilty of it all. That's why salvation is not by the works of man, it's by the grace of Almighty God. And I never want to leave that. He says, be strong in the grace of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're to preach that and we're to teach that. But we're also never to say that this is a licentious doctrine that you can live any old way or act and behave in any old way and it doesn't make any difference. It surely does. It has a lot to do with my joy, my peace, my rest, my consolation here in this world. And I'm not talking about naturally speaking. I'm talking about being spiritually okay with the Lord. I need to be tonight that way, don't you? I need to feel that He's with me tonight. He says, these things teach and exhort. That's a commandment. We're to do that. He goes on and points out, if any man teach otherwise. In other words, if I go some other direction. If I say, well, I really don't like these first couple verses, so I'm going to just act like they're not there. And I'll skip them and go to the next. Well, that's not what he said, is he? He didn't say we could. We don't have an option. We don't have, when we go to the Bible, I say to you tonight, we either take all of it, or let's just close the book and just say we're not going to follow any of it. Because we're told to let God be true and every man a liar. And that every man includes me and includes you and included my mama, my daddy, those that I love the dearest, those that I don't like very much. It's all of us. Our answer is to follow what's in the Word of God. Again, I'm not talking tonight that we can do that perfectly, because the Bible doesn't teach that. But it sure points us to do all that we can to walk as close to Him as we can. And we're to encourage one another to do that by preaching and teaching the Word of God and encouraging God's children, reproving them, rebuking them, exhorting them with all long-suffering, that I'm to do it in love, I'm not to strive, do it in love with all long-suffering and doctrine, to come with the Word of God and say, this is what we're supposed to do. And then don't compromise. And it's easy for us by nature to want to compromise. But when we compromise the Word of God, we do it to our own detriment. What does he say here? He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent, that is agree, that word agree means agree, and he agrees not to wholesome words. You know, the book before us tonight is full of wholesome words. You can eat it. You can enjoy it. You can taste of it. It's like honey. I think of Psalm 119, and one of my favorite parts of Psalm 119. I love the whole Psalm 119. There's a lot of verses in that Psalm. I believe it's 176 verses, and they broke it into groups of eight, and you go through the whole Hebrew alphabet, and it lays out in each one of those. And as you look at those individual verses, you'll find again and again and again the words, the law, the commandments, the testimonies, the precepts, His word, His judgments. You'll find that over and over again that's pointing to the Scripture. Remember what Jesus told those in John 5? He said, search the Scriptures, right? For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. There are some people who believe the Bible is what gives you life. The Bible doesn't give you life. The one the Bible declares and points to is the one who's the life giver. That he's the life. He is in him is the way, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we're to declare him. And whenever we're teaching the Word of God, whether it's an Old Testament passage or a New Testament passage, we're always talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it points to Him. That's not what I said, that's what He said. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So, when you come to the law, he's talking about the law and the commandments and the testimonies and the precepts and the word. We're talking about the Bible, we're talking about the Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, that's pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 97 of Psalm 119, he says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I read after one guy who said that you ought to carry, a man ought to go into this world carrying the Bible with him wherever he goes. And if he doesn't have it in his hand, he ought to have it in his heart. And I thought that was a great way to put it. As much of it as we can put in our heart, that's where it ought to be. But it is your guide. You need the Bible. I need the Bible. I can't encourage you enough to read your Bible. I can't encourage you enough to study your Bibles. I can't encourage you enough to pray that when the preacher comes before you, he'll preach the word and be blessed to preach the word, And you listen real carefully and make sure he's in the Word and staying with the Word. And if he fails to stay with the Word, you mark him just as that scripture says, if any man teach otherwise. You make sure we're following the Word. That's my desire tonight, to follow the Word. It ought to be because we love it. Now, if you love the law, if you love God's Word, there's only one way that's possible. And that's because you've already been born again. You don't love His Word to get born again. You've been born again, and He gives you a love for His Word in your heart. That comes from Almighty God. Yes, you have the old natural man that's still there, and that's where the battle takes place. But remember that the Apostle Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So you've got that which is in you that loves the Bible. You've got that which is in you that loves to hear preaching. You've got that which is in you that desires to hear more of it. You have that which has been put in you that God gave you. If you have a hunger for His Word, if you love to hear it, even when you don't understand it, if you love to read it, if that's in your heart, I say to you, you didn't get that on your own. You didn't get it from mama, daddy. Nobody else could give that to you. You're born of the Spirit, and you're going to be with Him in heaven one glorious day. Now, what does that mean then for right now? It means you ought to walk in that as much as you can, because that's where you're going to find all the blessings that's laid out here in this particular psalm. I encourage you to read all 176 verses and notice how many times he talks about the law, the commandments, the testimonies, the precepts, the word. All of that is pointing to the scripture and that which testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That means he's thinking about it. He approaches all, everything he's, and I know this is not easy. It's not something that, it's impossible to do outside of the grace of Almighty God. But by the grace of God, he's laid down in his word that this is to be what we're striving to do. It is my meditation all the day. He says in verse 98, Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Now, when are God's children wiser than their enemies? When they take the Bible and they respond to their enemies in accord with the Bible. When they put on the whole armor of God and they go into battle carrying the shield of faith. And when they go into battle carrying the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When they go into battle with their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When they have on the breastplate of righteousness, which is really talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the commandments of Christ, and we're to put on that righteousness, we're to wear that. He's already, isn't how we get to be accepted with God, that's been imputed to us through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done for us, but it's how we walk in this world in order to honor and glorify God and praise Him. We're to put on that breastplate of righteousness. And the shield of faith, and with that shield of faith, you can hold that shield of faith and it'll quench all the fiery darts of the enemies. We are wiser than our enemies, not because we're so smart, but because our God is almighty and powerful. Y'all believe that? I believe that tonight. I want to believe that when it comes my time to stand before the Lord's people, because I know if I don't have Him to bless me to preach, I can give you maybe a lecture like I did with my kids in school, if I train it up and get it all proper and just straightened up. But there's no power in the preaching, and there's no blessing in the preaching. There's no real heartfelt benefit in the preaching, and unless God's in the matter. That's what I believed now for a long time, and I found it to be the truth. And I'm telling you, I want to love His law more, don't you? I want it to be more my meditation. I want it to be more my daily practice, not just what I have on Sunday for a few hours when I meet in the house of God, but what I carry with me, if not in my hand, and more importantly in my heart. But if I don't have it all there in my heart, you take it in your hand, you read it and eat it and feed on it, and it'll get in your heart. The Lord will place it there, and it's already there, but it'll be awakened in you. He says, Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies. Why? For they are ever with me. What is that? That's His commandments are ever with me. That's verse 98, Psalm 119. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. A little child of God, a little bitty first grader going to school, that's using the Bible, who believes just what it says in Genesis will have more understanding than any old teacher that stands before them and says all the other stuff that's said in this world. You can take what the Bible says and have more understanding than the wisest men on the face of this earth about how this world got here and where it, and what's going to happen to it and how it's being sustained. And you can just understand what Job said, that the God made this earth and he hung it on nothing. Y'all believe that? He hung it on absolutely, and that's how it stands, by the power of Almighty God. This world is built and it's built upon his pillars. And he's in control. And he's on his throne. And I don't have to be afraid tonight. And I can be trusting and leaning and depending upon him. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies, that is his words, are my meditation. I'm thinking on his word. Sounds like we need to be in his word. And then we need to be in our thoughts in his word. He says, I understand more than the ancients. You know, experience is a difficult teacher sometimes, but it'll teach you. You can learn by experience. But it's not the best way. Sometimes you think, well, you know, experience teaches you better than anything else. Here he says, I understand more than the ancients, which means than the aged that have gone through a whole lot. Can a young man have more understanding than the aged or the ancients? This says he can. How? By taking this word and let it be a guide. He says this about this and a young man. In verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That means we, of all the knowledge that we need to have in this world as God's children, there's nothing more important than what we know of what the Bible says about doctrine and what it says about practice and what it says about our walk and what it says about our behavior. And if we don't go there, then we're proud and we're arrogant and we're ignorant. We're arrogantly ignorant. And I say that in as much love as I can. Whenever we forsake the Word of God and think we're going to be able to figure it out and I really don't need the Bible to help me with this one, we're in trouble. When do I need His Word? Every day. Every hour. I need Him. I need Him tonight. I'll need Him as the days go on in my life. As many days as He gives me, I'll need His Word. He says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep Thy precepts. Not only know them, but keep them. And how can we keep them? By the grace of God. I can't do it outside of His grace. Listen, grace is what saved us. But grace is what still keeps us. Grace is what gives you the ability to walk and work and live in a way to honor and glorify God. Grace is the ability that you have to fight the good fight of faith. That you have to fight, to lay hold on eternal life. To hold fast a good profession before that you've made before many witnesses. Grace is where we go for the strength to live in a way that honors and glorifies God. He said in verse 10, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. He's just laying out clearly that the Bible is what's going to guide how I walk, how I talk, and how I live. And he says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Now, if you get taught the word of God, how do you get it? You get it from the Lord. Get it. Sometimes he'll give it to you through his ministers. Sometimes he'll give it to you as you're studying his word. Sometimes he'll give it to you through experience. God teaches in many ways. God works in wondrous ways and ways that we can't imagine. His wonders to perform, mysterious ways, things that seem so peculiar. I think of a little Hannah who couldn't have a child coming to a place to pray and asking God to bless her with a child and just desiring to have a child and being persecuted and yet coming to a place and praying and the prophet or the priest hears her praying and thinks she's filled with new wine. She wasn't filled with new wine. She was praying to the Lord because her heart was broken. And then the Lord moved in her life and gave her that child. That child was a great judge, Samuel, and a priest. That child was greatly blessed. And how God moved in all of that. In all of her life. Even in the little woman that made fun of Hannah because she couldn't have children. Because, you know, the other wife. The other wife. And that's a problem even in itself, isn't it? That there was another wife. Because the law of God wasn't followed. And yet God overruled those things. Has God overruled some things in your life? He sure has in mine. And brought about things that I never would have thought could have ever possibly happened. I just want to say tonight, the Lord's been so good to me. I want to draw closer to Him. He says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. I hope that's the way you feel tonight about the scripture. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Honey's pretty sweet when you put it in your mouth, isn't it? But I tell you, spiritually speaking here, there's nothing better than a good night in the Word of God when the Lord's with you. And you're able just to sit and feast on His Word. There's nothing better than a good meeting where you're sitting there and the preaching is sweet and you feel like the Lord just speaking to you through the ministry. Sometimes to someone that you didn't even anticipate or think about would be able to bring anything that would be any benefit to you, the Lord provides it to you. How many times has He called a particular passage of Scripture to your mind and to your heart on a particular occasion just when you need it? Or maybe have a friend text it to you and you read it just when you need it, and it just hits the spot. That's the way the Lord works. He says, through thy precepts I get understanding, and because of that, therefore, I hate every false way. We don't just fall into doing what's right in this world. There's some labor on our part. There's some work that's required. We're to labor to enter into that rest. We're to take up our cross. He says, I'm going back to our text, and I'm going to quickly move through this. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, the Word of God is wholesome. It's good for you. It's what you need. And when you don't get it, you'll get weak. That's why it's important for us to attend the house of God, to hear the preaching of the gospel, to be reading in our Bibles and praying to God for the wisdom that we need to understand and rightly divide the word of truth. He says, consent not to wholesome words. And what are those wholesome words? He tells you what they are right here. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody said, is that just the red? Is that just the ones in red? Well, they are certainly the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of them are important. But I say to you, every word in this Bible is from the Lord Jesus Christ and given to us by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And the minister is called, Timothy was called, we are called to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If we do not go along with this doctrine, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, and I wanted to point that out, it's not a doctrine that's according to ungodliness, but it's a doctrine according to godliness. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep. If a man love me, let me just read that over in John chapter 14. Verse 15, he says in John 14, he says, Jesus' words, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we show that we love the children of God, by keeping his commandments. How do we show we love one another? We keep his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit, since Pentecost, has come in power. He was already in power, but he, in a very manifest way, we have the Holy Spirit where we're living in a blessed day, in a blessed time, in a blessed age. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He's in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is with us tonight. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you. He just told them he was going to go away. But he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How did he come to us? In the person of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in our hearts. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Jesus was about to go to the cross, and he was about to die, and the world would not see him anymore in his natural body living here in this world. But he said, you're going to see me. And I believe we see him tonight, don't you, with an eye of faith. The world can't see him because they have no eye to see him with, or ear or heart. But God's little children have an eye and an ear and a heart to see him. And the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. When the Lord moves in our hearts, we know that. And then we know it now in part, but one day we're going to see him when he comes again, see him face to face. And we're going to know when that which is in part is gone, done away, we'll see him as he is. We'll praise him as we ought. And he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That is where you have life and peace and joy and rest, when you feel the manifest presence of the Lord, when you feel that he is present with us and you're able to see him through an eye of faith. He says, that man that does not teach these things gets into perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. I'm back over in 1 Timothy 6, verse 5. Verse 4, he says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. When we get away from the Word of God and we start having discussions that the Bible doesn't clarify and give answers to, we get into things that cause all kinds of heartache and trouble, and we're to avoid those things. When God is silent on something, we're not to speculate about it and try to figure it out. Sometimes we want to know those things. The hidden things belong to the Lord. And one day we'll know everything that we need to know. And right now we have everything that we need to know in the Word of God. For this world, it's that which truly furnishes us to all good works. But there are some things I believe we're going to know in heaven that we don't need to know down here. But we'll know them over there. That's why heaven's going to be wonderful. I'm going to have a lot of answers to a whole lot of questions that I've got right now, and a whole lot of ideas and thoughts that the Bible really doesn't speak to, that I sometimes wonder about. I don't know how they're going to be. But I surely don't want to get in discussions about them, because as soon as we do, the next thing you know, that's where the old devil loves to work. And he brings in division. Don't think he doesn't want to divide our little congregation here. He doesn't want to bring in heartache and bring in all these things, envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings. So how do we stay away from that? I say you stick to the Word. You preach what the Word says. When do we usually get in trouble as ministers in the pulpit? When I get away from the Word and I start talking something else and pointing out something else. And next thing you know, you've caused some heartache. When you stick to the Word, you may indeed offend, but it'll be a godly sense of offense. And if the Word offends, it must offend. But God forbid I would offend. Because it said it would be better for what? A millstone to be cast about my neck and cast over into the sea and drowned. Daddy always pointed out the idea and the thought. That would be better for you than what would happen to you. That would be the best thing that could happen to you, you know. So I want to stick to the Word as much as I can. Y'all pray that I will do that. He says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. We hear that out in the world all the time now. That if you'll walk right, act right, talk right according to the Scripture, you'll be rich and have everything that you need monetarily. You'll live in the house you want. You can name it, claim it, and you know whatever you want, as if it just as a big wish. Just follow the Lord and you'll get everything you want in a natural way. You know what the Bible says? Just the opposite. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. And there's going to be some things you lose. There's going to be some things you won't have. And some things you really didn't need anyway that you won't have. Really what you won't have, you didn't need it. You just thought you needed it. You just wanted it. Let me put it this way. I just wanted it because it's me more than you. I wanted this, I wanted that. God didn't intend for me to have this or that. I do know this. If I ask him for that which is according to his will, he will answer and give me just what I need. If I ask him this, he will withhold it from me. You know why? Because he's a good father. He's a loving father. And I need to be content. Isn't it good to be content? To be reconciled to the will of God. Not only to pray, Lord, be with us, but then be reconciled with his answer. Be reconciled with what he's given you. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. If you hear someone preaching that if you walk godly, you'll get gain, that's what the world was teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is that if you have godliness, you already, and you're content with it, you already have great gain. And where did you get that from? The grace of God. So I can't pat myself on the back, nor can you, but we thank the Lord. And this verse is very important. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Job said that so very clearly after he had lost all those many blessings that God had allowed him to have. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked came I into the world. And that's the way he knew he was going to leave this world. He brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Let's say that to one another over and over. Oh, we all have so much, don't we? The Lord's been good to us. But they that will be rich, that means not just those that are rich, but those who want to be rich. It's not just those who are rich, but those who are designed to be rich. That doesn't mean we're not to work hard, be industrious, and try to accumulate things that we need in this world. God knows we need those things, and he supplies them to us. And working hard is what he told us to do. And when we sow to the Spirit, we'll love the Spirit, reap life everlasting. But what we don't want to do is live for the things of this world, because this world is going to one day burn up and it's not going to be here anymore. And all of those things that we think are so vitally and so needed, absolutely important, are really, many of them, they're just for the moment. They're only borrowed. You have them for a little while. We brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is talking about God's little children as well as the men of the world. God's little children can get wrapped up in this. He's warning Timothy not to get wrapped up in this. He's warning ministers not to get wrapped up in this. Minister who preaches in order to try to pad his pockets or try to gain the wealth of this world is walking contrary to the teachings of the Scripture. And he may indeed gain the things of this world, but it won't be a benefit to him. It'll be a curse to him. It'll be a hindrance to him. And so we're to live being thankful for what God has given us and not get wrapped up so much about all the stuff of this world. Be thankful when the Lord blesses. But when the Lord grants you riches, don't let your heart be set upon them. Don't fall in love with those things. And it's easy for us to do that. It's the flesh that's there. We all have that battle. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Often misquoted with money being the root of all evil. It didn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of it. Often heard it's not having money that's a problem. It's when the money has you it's a problem. It's not having material gain. It's when the material gain has you. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Some of the most unhappy people are those many that are the most well off in this world. And some of the most happy people are those that are considered by the world to not have very much. But they have what that verse says. They have contentment with what God has given them, and they have godliness. And godliness is to be devoted to God and to Jesus, to walk devoted to Him, to love Him, to fear Him, to desire Him, to strive to live close to Him, We sing that hymn, More About Jesus. More Would I Know. More of His love to others show. More of Him. May I be more like Him. More like Thee. And He says, For the love of money is the root of all evil, but which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. None of these do you have unless you're born of the Spirit. They're all fruit of the Spirit. But when we have them, we're to walk in them. We're to sow to the Spirit. If we sow to the Spirit, if we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's the carnal mind is enmity against God. If we walk after the carnal mind, that's going to bring about death. But if we walk in the Spirit, it's life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. That says, the little child of God, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. God's called us to that, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Brethren, may the Lord help us to not only confess with our mouth that we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, but then to take up our cross and live our lives the best we can, serving Him as Lord. Not loving the things of the world, being thankful for what He gives us, but recognizing everything He's given us is by His grace and a blessing from Him, and not live for them, but live to bring glory and honor to His name. Can we do any of that without Him? You can't do anything without Him. We need Him in every bit of that. So it's grace that's brought us to this point, and it's grace that'll have to lead us on. I'm so thankful, though, to say to you tonight, His grace is sufficient. And as we lean on Him, He will supply just what we need. I do appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Preset. Appreciate you, my dear brother.
God bless you.